This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And joining us in the palatial Duck Snort Studios, we have the host of Three Swings Podcast, an excellent stand-up comedian, and most importantly, a fellow member of the Los Angeles Baseball Federation, Rhea Butcher. Rhea, thanks for joining us.
Hello, thanks for having me.
We're very excited to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Excited to talk to you all.
How different would this have been had the Dodgers lost on Saturday?
I mean, I don't know. That's a good question, because I did not think they were going to win, so I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I was, like, pulling for them, but in a way that was very sort of detached, in a way that I have spent most of my baseball life, you know, which is, like, I have years where I'm, like, really into it, and then my heart gets broken, and then I'm like, I can't do that again, and then I'm not as into it, and then my heart still gets broken. I'm like, well, that was slightly better. That's pretty much...
Your heart can't avoid
it. No, I can't avoid it. It's all, I mean, my heart always gets broken. I've watched the team that I... A team that I love lose the World Series four times in my lifetime.
Wow. So that would be... Let's go over your baseball history, because you're from Cleveland, right?
Cleveland. Los Angeles. I'm from Akron.
Okay.
That's a very, very specific distinction that anyone from Akron will make.
Sure. Including LeBron James when he comes on Duck Snort Baseball Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He will be like, no, I'm from Akron.
Wait, so 95, 97. Oh, and then 2016, right?
And 97 and 2016 were true heartbreakers.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like, those are
97.
I mean, 97,
Jose Mesa?
I would say even more so. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Edgar Renteria. Yeah, getting that.
Right.
Yeah.
Jose Mesa blowing the World Series.
We were a strike away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was this like a little bit of revenge on Craig Counsell for you? Wasn't he on that Marlins team?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, then yes.
Wasn't he? Yeah, no, yeah.
See, the thing about the 97 one is I like completely blacked it out of my memory, which I didn't realize until I watched the 30 for 30 documentary Believeland, because then they show that in there, and I was oh my God, I forgot about this. Like, I just, that was it for me.
Just out.
I was done. Was done watching like professional sports after that, because I like grew up with baseball, and then I just was like, I can't do this anymore. And I didn't really watch it. I would tune back in for like the World Series.
Do you think
it's... Because I was detached from it.
When did you get back in?
When I got back... The year I got back in was 2014.
Oh, wow.
2013, 2014. It was a big gap. But I mean, I was generally following, but like there's all of that information that happened in between. Like, I only know like the big... Like Jeter and Piazza. Like
the big stuff.
Yeah,
lost.
Yeah. I did not follow it regularly. And to be honest, I never followed it as closely as I do now. I just was watching baseball, mostly Atlanta, because we had TBS.
Sure. Yeah.
My household.
TBS, WGN.
Yeah.
You getting back into baseball coinciding with Cleveland being good again, or was it following the Dodgers?
No, it was, well, I was getting back in to baseball in general in a similar way that I used to follow it, which was... find the exciting thing and follow that again. Mm-hmm. And so that was like right when Chris Bryant was coming up. And so I was like, okay. Oh, these guys are exciting. I like the way they play. And look at that huge mistake that I made with my life to like that team.
I think it was a great
decision. No, I mean, I know you like it, but
you came to regret it.
Absolutely. Yeah. As I always do. but also that year, my grandmother passed away, when she was in hospice, we watched some Cleveland baseball together. So then I was like, oh, I'm back into this team again.
That's a really nice way to get back into
it. It is a nice way to get back into it. And it's, you know, so often about the racist logos, there's always like these guys lamenting, like, this reminds me of my dad or whatever, you know, but it's weird because it does remind me of my grandmother, but I'm not like, to use a terrible phrase here, banging the drum for the logo. It's just like the whole thing reminds me of that. So I have like empathy for it, but it's also like, okay, but that time has passed and you can still have that memory without us doing this terrible thing.
There are a lot of other things other than the logo that
totally
will remain the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you could change the name and it would still be there. You have to change the things. You can still have the stuff you want to have in your house, but like the thing outside just has to change.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I even empathize with it sort of as just like I came of age watching baseball when those Cleveland teams were so good.
So good.
So I have like really fond memories. I mean, we were just talking before we started recording about like Kenny Lofton for a second, and like he was one of my favorite players ever. And that image in that Cleveland uniform is very enduring, but like that doesn't mean that it,
right.
that it can't change, and like there can't be new memories made that don't step on the old ones. You
also
know?
Like the logo, I mean,
it's so transparently racist anyway. Oh
yeah,
well like, yeah, that's true too. Yeah, the White Sox logo has changed like,
oh yeah,
you know, 20 times in
it's
100
like
years
the
or
Brewers
whatever.
Logo is has ch- like there are so many logos.
Yeah,
that
dude, but
also that,
that
wasn't
wheat
the
one is really racist. You know what I mean? The one with
a
thresh of wheat
in a different way, as a yeah. from a design standpoint.
But that wasn't even. They didn't even have that logo from like the beginning. That was
yeah.
relatively new. You know, they're a very old team that didn't have that logo the whole time. You know,
and
so.
They didn't have it during the time where it would have been the most acceptable to have it.
Right.
Like
well,
the
they did have it in the 40s.
But the 19-teens, like when there were
sure.
still Indian schools playing like in
right,
college,
yeah.
like that's like everyone would have been like, this is fine. It could be more offensive.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I don't know if you guys have seen the old versions of
oh,
it,
yeah,
but it's
sure.
terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some bad ones.
And
yeah.
like when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I want that because it's like old. And like I didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
of course
how
not.
Was I supposed to know? Because the context was within white people.
Right.
There's no, yeah. you know, like I have a joke about that on stage where people are like, oh, I mean, I don't hear any Native Americans complaining about it. People back in Ohio. And I'm like, that's the problem.
There's no
there's nobody
Native
here
Americans,
to complain
right,
about it.
Yeah.
We got rid of them.
Right.
And then we put this cartoon in place of them.
Yeah. Rough.
Yeah. So anyway. anyway.
So now you're a Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
Probably not. A direct correlation between those two things, more that you moved to Los Angeles
yes.
and found a team to follow here.
Yes.
So I know listening to your podcast that you have a lot of thoughts on the current Dodgers team,
sure.
on Dave Roberts as a manager.
A lot of thoughts.
let's talk real quick about the series that just ended. I assume anybody who is listening to this podcast knows that the Dodgers and the Red Sox are about to start playing the World Series. Tonight, I guess, if you're listening to this on the day that the podcast comes out. But so,
wait, does it start Wednesday?
No.
No, it starts Tuesday.
No, it starts Tuesday.
No.
I'm going to miss it because I have to host my dumb show. This is what I don't know what is wrong with
Wednesday.
Me.
Yeah, it starts Tuesday.
Every
Chris
year
Sale
I'm like
Clayton
traveling
Kershaw.
During the, it's yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was off.
Well, that's a bummer that you have to miss it.
I
are
know.
You? But
I'll catch the. I'll.
You'll
I'm
see
gonna
some
see
of
first
it.
Pitch
right.
and all that stuff. I mean, I do this to myself like every year. I have a baseball podcast, and then I miss almost all the postseason.
You host a stand-up show?
Yes, every Tuesday.
Can't you like squirrel away during when other people?
I mean, I totally will
yeah.
for sure. I just mean I can't sit and watch the game.
Yeah, right.
Like
right.
I'll watch it from it'll start at 5 here, and I'll watch the beginning of it, and then right at the end, I won't be able to watch.
Yeah,
that's
I'll just listen to it on the way there, and then have
so
my phone
like
out the whole time. Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's like 16-3. So
yeah,
you have to worry
absolutely.
About it.
But
yeah.
it's wild that they've never played each other in the World Series before.
The LA version has it.
Right.
Yeah, 1916 was the last yeah. time the Dodgers Red Sox have met. Well, it was the Bridegrooms and Red Sox.
Really?
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Bridegrooms?
Well,
I
then,
didn't know.
Yeah, technically, okay. no.
Yeah,
technically. No.
Technically.
No Dodgers.
No
yeah.
Dodgers,
well, I mean, there was a pretty fallow period for the Red Sox there, as folks might recall.
Sure,
they,
yeah.
they,
what do you mean?
They didn't win for a few years in yeah. the middle of there, so that might have been part of it. Well, so the NLCS... tremendously exciting in many ways, really well-matched teams. The last two games, I guess, I wouldn't call them disappointing, but they neither were they like horse races, you know what I mean?
Right,
like they
yeah.
were sort of both pretty decided by the final innings. But I'm curious for both of you guys what your takeaways are from the Dodgers winning. I think the best team won. And are you more or less confident in the Dodgers winning the World Series now than as are you more or less confident in them as a team, I guess, than you were going into the series? Does that make sense as a question?
I think so.
Like
a bunch of questions.
Has this has the NLCS made you feel worse or better about their chances of the World Series?
Yeah. Do they feel rickety or do they feel
I don't think they
solid.
Feel rickety. However, if Dave Roberts goes back to what he does always, because what I think the NLCS did and Craig Counsell's move to like basically break Dave Roberts worked in Dave Roberts' favor, that he couldn't keep doing what he was making moves because like he just was like, well, fine, I'll just leave everybody in. And like, that's actually how you have to play baseball. Because I texted a friend, I was like, oh, it's shocking that they get good at baseball when you let them play, you know, like these like tennis matches and like one-on-one matchups, like just putting a guy in and putting a guy in and putting it, it doesn't actually work. Like there's a mental game to it and you have to be ready and in the rhythm of the game. And so the bullpenning, I think, works on a case-by-case basis, but over the course of a seven-game series, it doesn't work.
By the bullpenning, you mean Counsell's moves
Counsell's
or Roberts'
moves? Yeah.
See, we talked about this, and I kind of disagree. I think it would have worked if Jeremy Jeffress had pitched well. Like, that was really the only
weak link.
But
he didn't, so the bullpenning didn't work.
Right, yeah, but but strategically, I don't think you could say, like, as a whole, like, this will never work, or like, this, you know, like, I
no,
think...
No, I'm not saying, like, don't ever do it.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
saying, like, oh, this is stupid, don't do it. I just think, it has a higher potential for breakdown. Because,
sure.
Because yeah. you're using these guys in a way that they're not always, it's a mental adjustment that I don't think always works. I mean, well, the A's, it did not work for them at all.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to count on so many more brains being ready for that moment.
That makes sense to me. I definitely don't think the Dodgers should have done it so heavily. I think for the Brewers, it made sense because they don't really have any good starting pitching. Despite, like, Miley pitched pretty well, like, overall. And Chacin was pretty good. But
and
compared,
Woodruff.
Yeah. Woodruff was great. But, like, compared to Clayton Kershaw, Hyunjin Ryu, Walker Buehler, Rich Hill, like, that is... like,
starters.
The Dodgers had the four best starters in that series, probably. So it made sense to me. But I am curious to see if it's something that'll continue in the World Series, if they'll go to the bullpen as aggressively.
I mean, I hope not, because that's also Boston's weak point, is their bullpen.
Yeah.
So if the Dodgers could not blow out their bullpen like they did last year in the World Series and show them everything in the very second game, I think that will benefit them to, like, ride out there. Because I actually went to that game that Kershaw pitched seven innings, and I thought Dave was just going to... I was like, is he going to throw a complete game right now? Which I would have done. But
the Braves game?
No, the Brewers game.
The Brewers game, okay.
Game five.
Oh, I didn't realize he went seven.
Yeah.
He did go seven.
One run, right? Damn. Or shutout, yeah.
He had 9 Ks.
Yeah, I was really happy to see that.
So all swinging strikes.
I would love Kershaw to have a great rest of the postseason.
It would
and
be
kind
great.
Of like put to bed that whole, like, he's a choker or whatever.
Yeah, and he's probably not going to be a Dodger anymore after this.
You think
he's gone?
Yeah, I mean, somebody said yesterday that he'll probably go to the Rangers, and that makes a lot of sense.
Is he from Texas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a huge Nolan Ryan.
Oh,
you
there
know.
You go.
Maybe. The Rangers are, like, pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's not about... I think, you know, when you start to go on your, like, decline, it's about, like, going out gracefully.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
in
sure.
In a place you want to be in, as opposed to, like, a Verlander story where he's, like, still got some stuff. I mean, Verlander's obviously got gas left. I don't know that Kershaw does.
I think Verlander looked cooked like 2 years ago. So,
yeah.
So definitely Kershaw could find a second wind. And he, like, even in his sort of like him, he's still an all-star level pitcher, you
for
know,
sure.
like
yeah,
compared
yeah, yeah.
to, it's just like he's not Sandy Koufax anymore or whatever.
Yeah. Verlander didn't have quite the injury history Kershaw did that day.
That's true. Yeah.
That's like, I think what's worrying when you're,
yeah,
you're
the
losing
like back injuries
and
stuff.
Injuries. Yeah.
Yeah. The back stuff is really bad. Cause that's the problem with Cleveland, is that Corey Kluber has a very bad back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he loses his stuff in August and then they just slide. Bauer is their best starter.
Shut him down till
I know. That's basically
they
what
they
could
have. That's
yeah, I know.
They could have just shut him down for like all of the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The actual summer.
Yeah.
And then just brought him back.
Well, that's interesting to me. I kind of assumed the Dodgers would make it a priority to make him like Dodger
for life
kind of a guy, just because he's been the face of the Dodgers for 10 years. But
Dodgers don't like spending money, though. So
They only have the highest payroll in baseball, right? Or second highest now?
Sox.
Yeah, Sox. Yeah. Maybe Dodgers are second or third now.
I'm not stoked about rooting for a team with a ton of money. I'll say that because I come from small market baseball. And that's also like just the type of baseball that I'm used to watching. But at the same time, like it's right here and it's fun to be. It's fun to be in a fan group where I don't feel fully terrible cheering for them. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels nice. I'll admit it. It just feels nice to be
sure.
We were talking a couple weeks ago, I think, or maybe last week. How is it? Because I went to the Braves. I went to the Kershaw Braves.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And people are going crazy for, like, Machado. And,
yeah.
Like, does it... I felt kind of like, this guy isn't your guy. Like, you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
like, yeah, yeah.
Go crazy for Turner or Puig or Taylor. I know. Like, is it, how do you feel about that? Does Machado feel like a Dodger?
No.
How do you feel? Yeah.
No. I mean, look, I was ready to, like, support that dude. You know, you get a rental or whatever, and you're like, cool, great, let's get on board. He's not on board. Like, that type of player is my least favorite type of player. And, like, I just... There are Machado jerseys everywhere, and you can't get a fucking Turner jersey anywhere. It's insane to me. And I've been trying to find a kid's Turner jersey because that's what fits me. And you can't. They're like nowhere. Huh. But there's Machado everywhere because I guess he's like, you know, flashy or whatever. And like, but that shit that he was doing in that series is like all of it. I can't stand.
Such a bummer.
None of it.
That's like an extra layer of bummer. Even
absolutely on top of it.
Even it has to like even for like Freeze or Dozier has to be like not the same. Like
oh yeah.
At the end of the day, you don't want Dozier to get the game when he hit the World Series, right?
No.
Like you
that
want.
That was the weird part.
But at the same time, like last year, I was like totally pulling for Curtis Granderson. You know what
I
mean?
He's like the most
because he's like such a great guy. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, honestly, Freeze, I would be like stoked if he did because it's like they finally got a veteran that's what you get him for is to do that. And when you buy somebody to do a job, pay somebody to do a job, and then they do that job, it's super satisfying.
Yeah. Also, Freeze got two World Series winning hits in his did he hit a World Series or was he just an MVP for the Cardinals? It was like a huge home run, right?
That home run in that Rangers game.
It was like a go-ahead home run and like, right?
Was that the series winning game or was it the game before?
I don't remember either. I would love if he somehow won the World Series MVP again or something.
I think that would have won the game for the Rangers. I think it was like a game 5 or 6 situation where the Rangers would have won.
If the Rangers won the game, they would have won the series.
I think. I could be wrong. The Rangers in the World Series. That's crazy.
Oh, the days.
Two in a row. Seems very distant.
Was that 2006?
Sure.
No.
Which one are we talking about?
11 and 12.
11 and 12. Because I did watch the 2006 World Series.
Oh, that was the Cardinals beat the Tigers.
That was
the year that the Tigers came out of like nowhere.
Right.
Because
I had housemates that were Cardinals fans.
Oh, okay.
So that like got me back into...
And that was the Cardinals' first World Series win since...
1982, right?
82 against the Brewers, yeah.
Right. So. I only know Cardinals won the series in 1982 because that's the year I was born.
Oh, there you go. Orioles won the year I was born.
Who won in 86?
The Mets.
Come on. That was
Mets.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Good.
That's like one of the 10
you
should know.
Sorry. All right. Well, so let's talk about the Red Sox for a second, because I think it's interesting that like these two teams feel very similarly structured to me.
I agree.
Like really amazing like depth down the lineup, like theoretically very strong starting pitching that like hasn't necessarily made its presence known in the playoffs, and then pretty shaky like bullpens overall, even supposedly lights out closers
right,
that maybe have
not
been
at all, yeah.
too great. But they took care of the Astros like very, not easily, but like quickly, you know?
Yeah. That was pretty great to watch.
Yeah.
To
totally well, that
the amount that the Astros were cheating last year is very evident in their win now with how quickly they lost versus the Red Sox. Because the Red Sox cheat as much as they do, so they like figured it out. You know what I mean?
I thought it was interesting.
There's cheating in baseball. I'm not like going like, oh, they cheated and it's not. They cheated the way that everybody's cheated forever, but they're too good at it that like you're like, oh, this is how they...
Yeah, the pine tar stuff is really interesting with like the spin rate and all that, all those theories on it.
And stealing signs and knowing what's coming and
Yeah.
I thought that was the Kimbrel thing.
What? Oh, they were stealing his signs?
That's what supposedly he figured out, they were stealing his signs. And that's why he's game five, it was relatively uneventful, is that he figured out that he was getting a sign. Or he was tipping pitches.
Oh,
not
I see.
Stealing signs, sorry. But he was tipping pitches. And some weird Astros magic was tipping his pitches, and then he figured
I mean, that's the same thing they did to Darvish.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because Springer knew what was coming. That's why he hit those home runs, or why he hit, like, a leadoff home run in Game 7.
Yeah.
It's a pretty nice advantage to have.
Yeah. Yeah, very good advantage.
For sure.
And the Dodgers had no idea.
That Darvish was doing. Yeah. Now Darvish can't pitch anymore.
Yeah, he's basically dead. I was really surprised when the Cubs picked him up. Like, that was very strange to me that they did that.
I thought it was a great deal. I thought they got a great deal on the contract.
I was very concerned about it.
I thought he would bounce back.
I thought he would pitch more than that.
Twice?
Yeah,
whatever, how many times he pitched. Yeah. I thought he would get hurt, because of course he was going to get hurt. But, ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Bummer.
Yeah. Hopefully Lester has 3 more years
left. Side note on Kimbrel. So we were watching, I was watching with my girlfriend, and she thought Kimbrel was like the strangest dude that she'd ever seen in the majors, which is like pretty true. Like the whole pre-pitch.
Yeah,
like,
the arm thing
and the lean down. And now he's got that sort of like Charlie Blackman beard that he looks even crazier. But like, I've always really liked that he did the weird lean down thing. What do you guys think about it?
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, but
it's
like,
insane.
That's baseball.
Yeah.
It's like, what other sport is like that? Maybe like the free throw, like a weird, you know, that's the only other sport that I can think of. There's like a weird warm up or like get yourself in the zone to do a thing that could be potentially strange.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about baseball, because then it's just millions of people watching it going, what's up with that weirdo? You know?
I don't know. I don't particularly love Kimbrel, mostly because I've never really loved the teams he's played for.
Yeah.
So
you're not a big Padres guy?
Never mind. You know, I love the Padres.
Got him with the fathers.
Yeah.
Big fan of the dads.
It's like, I'm just now realizing that it's the same as Encarnacion, only just because Encarnacion
does
the
dumb
carrot thing.
The home run trot.
That to me is way weirder.
I love it too, though. Like, I just love weird shit like that. I don't know. There's no reason to do it. Like,
so
how do
you
land
love the
on
Mookie
that?
Like Elvis twist thing?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There's like literally.
I mean, I love that dude.
There's literally no reason for Encarnacion to do that though, because Kimbrel I get, because I bet it's a focus thing.
Yeah.
But Encarnacion just has to have a parrot on his shoulder after he hits a dinger.
I don't know. There's some like amount of showing off to it, I think. Like, this is my muscly arm that I hit a home run.
That's
with.
What I always thought it
but
was.
It's not a parrot? I thought it was.
I think it's like both. I think it gets both jobs done.
It's a twofer. There you go.
It's a twofer, yeah. It's a two-run homer.
But why don't, like, you would think as much as the people who pick it, like the way that Francisco Lindor or Bryce Harper or anybody play, would pick it Encarnacion running around the bases at that. And I never hear anybody say
or
a Kimbrel. Bad thing.
They don't pick because it's,
mean like sort of copy it?
No. There are the people who get so upset about
disrespecting the game,
backflips and stuff, but it's okay to run around the bases with a fake parrot on your shoulder or like flexing your arm. Like, it feels like if you're disrespecting the game, that's, I don't think
it's
that,
almost it's almost like too weird to be like
you gotta be weird to do it.
Yeah, it's like you can't be showing anybody up if you're just being a fucking weirdo out there, you know?
Yeah.
Going back to the Red Sox series, I thought it was crazy how impactful that like outfield defense was in that series.
It's huge.
I've never seen like 3 defenders have that kind of impact like in successive games, I think. Although CT3, that catch that he made
that
in Game 7
catch.
Was unbelievable.
And Bellinger.
Yeah,
had
and
the
Bellinger.
All out. I mean, I think that, to me, is the biggest. Once the series comes to L.A. and they have to put Mookie Betts at second base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have a huge advantage there.
Yeah.
With J.D. Martinez.
J.D. Martinez
having
to play
defense.
Terrible defender.
Yeah.
And Dodger Stadium outfield is huge.
Especially right field.
But it is pretty crazy that Mookie Betts has that kind of flexibility to be like.
Did you see him over the season playing second base, though?
No, I
was it bad?
I mean, look,
he only played like
a
few innings.
Professional
right?
baseball player, so like he's good at it.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, he's not a second baseman.
Right.
He plays right field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's very obvious when you take like somebody. What's in, you know, like Chris Taylor, for example, was a infielder that they then translated into an outfielder, and he's a much better outfielder than he is an infielder now. And I think that was because of his, it was a lot of things, batting, and also they just, he had to do it. It was either you do this job or you don't get to do this job.
Mm-hmm.
But his ability out there is so much better than infield because you have more time to think, you know? And then just taking an outfield brain and putting it in the infield, especially when you've been playing outfield the whole season, and then all of a sudden in these huge games you have to play infield, especially a position that has to play outfield, infield, and turning double plays, like, and backup coverage of everything. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
They have a huge advantage for three games in a row.
This is, like, where the legend of Mookie Betts, like, gets made, though. Like, if he is slick out there and, like, hits a dinger or something, or he and, you know, J.D. Martinez, like, lead the team to a win or two in Dodger Stadium, like, then it's told forever, like, and Mookie Betts, like, played second base,
right,
and,
yeah,
like, you know, he could do anything that year, like, because he's probably going to win the MVP or whatever.
If he makes, like, one late-inning great play without making any late-inning bad plays, it's going to be, like, a late.
Even if it's, like, not one of those great plays that's not a great play, it's just like he got a late break on it or something and he had to like dive and get it, it'll still be like the Jeter type like plays, you know.
Or even if it's just like he covered like Mookie Betts new, you know, like,
it is like
backing up first base.
Yeah.
It's like I've been thinking about this recently though. It's like a different like muscle set almost to playing the infield. It's like a lot more like outfield is a lot of pure athleticism on the major league level. Like there's definitely like reads and there's definitely like first steps, right? And that's the same on the infield, I think. But the infield is like there's a lot more moving parts to it. Like you got to know where to turn, you know, like turn your body without running and sort of like, you know, be able, especially at second, be able to throw both ways, like throw to second or throw to first and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It's like not, even though he was a second baseman, like in the minors, like it's not an easy transition probably.
No, I just mean in terms of like compacted time. Cause even, I mean, Cody Bellinger's been playing center a lot more because of Max Muncy. So like that has been helpful to the Dodgers. Like he can go back to first base, but they're probably just going to keep him in center because he's been playing so well because he's been doing it so much because they need to keep Max Muncy in the lineup or David Freese.
Yeah.
But yeah, just immediately going from not doing it really at all to then doing like
in the
World Series. I mean, Cleveland did the same thing with Jason Kipnis last year in the ALDS.
Right. They played him at center.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's a tough transition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge.
It's huge.
It's huge.
It's a huge what if.
Do you think the other huge what if, it's going to probably be cold in Boston?
Yes.
And that will obviously affect the Boston players, but do you think it will affect the Dodgers players more?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely not used to it, but they were playing in Milwaukee and some of them were wearing like stuff even though they were inside.
Yeah, I guess Milwaukee.
So there's at least that. I mean, they were inside.
Yeah.
I don't know how cold it was in there, but they were cold. So
yeah
it's definitely gonna Boston, you're right. So, yeah, that's an interesting thing to think about. They'll definitely be.
I think, like, for me, the kind of X factor, I guess, although I don't know, for some reason I was hesitant to use that term because it sounds like sports radio-y and I don't like it, but, like, is going to be, like, whose aces pitch better?
Because,
like, they, you know, Sale and Kershaw have both been really inconsistent throughout the postseason. Price, obviously, has been very bad until this last start when he was lights out. Ryu got blown up the last time out. Bueller has been like really.
I mean,
up
Rich
and
Hill.
Down.
If Dave leaves him in, we'll have like a great game.
I love Rich Hill.
He's a consistently great pitcher.
Doesn't know how to leave Rich Hill in.
I know. Four innings like, every fucking time. It drives me insane. Yeah. Leave the man in. He's a veteran. Like
I wonder how much
like
of
why
that
they acquired.
I don't
him.
Know.
He's
yeah,
like an innings
he's an innings dude. And like over the summer, there was a game where he pitched beautifully. It was like he was back in that like perfect game form, like just using two pitches, looking really solid, had like seven Ks or something like that. And then I remember just every, you know, the MLB Tonight, whoever was just talking about how good Rich Hill was. And then in the exit interview, Rich was like, yeah, I just wasn't feeling my pitches as well as I could have, and I wanted to get more control. You know, like, mm-hmm. he was, like, in it and knowing what he wasn't doing right, even though from the outside he looked really good. And that's why you leave somebody like that in. You don't take them out with the first walk that they give up. Yeah. You give them, like, that inning to be, like, he needs to stretch out a little bit more to figure it out. Like, we've already got the W. Like, just leave him in for another inning.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder how, if some of that is trying to protect against blisters, because he's had like that recurring problem. And like, especially in the playoffs, like, you'd rather have him for five starts at four innings than like lose him in his second start.
Totally.
You know,
but not in the World Series.
But exactly. Yeah, so I'm wondering if like maybe that's the difference. This is like, he's going in game four probably, right? Mm-hmm. So if this is his last start of the year, I wonder if he's rolling.
I hope
out longer.
Dave didn't do it last year. He only left him in four innings.
Yeah.
And he was pitching really well.
Yeah.
Who will be game four for the Sox?
That's a great question.
That's a good
Evaldi,
question.
Right? Porcello. Oh, Porcello will be four probably. But yeah, that doesn't, I mean, we talked about this previously too. Like, it doesn't bode super well for the Red Sox. I don't think that Evaldi has been their only consistent pitcher, starter or bullpen in the playoffs. Like, that's nuts. I mean, like, what it does bode well for is if it like gets to game seven and like, they can, or if they set up their rotation in a way where like he comes out of the bullpen some game, like mm-hmm. that dude throws gas.
Yeah,
that
he does.
Nasty. And if they need like, if they can
like
sort
two
of
two innings, like once through the order, three
or
innings.
If they can sort of do, if it's like game seven and they're able to do what the Astros did last year with McCullers and Morton and mm-hmm. like just like tag team Evaldi and like Sale or Evaldi and Porcello, even like that's a nasty matchup, but. Yeah, I don't know. But I picked the Red Sox to lose in the last round because I didn't think their pitching was any mm-hmm. good.
I mean, I really wanted to see them beat the Astros, but who would have thought they would have beat the Astros the way they did?
Four in a row like that. Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yeah, especially after losing game one.
Yeah, in Boston.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Wait, I don't think we talked about it. That Altuve home run was a home run though, right?
Oh, the interference?
I think it was the right call.
You think it was the right call?
I do, yeah.
I didn't see it.
After he made another catch. Well, look, they called
the
same call
in
Dodger Stadium.
Next day, right?
Yeah,
or
he
the
made
next game.
Almost the exact identical catch the next game.
But he was in the stands. Like, all bets are off when you're in the stands.
No, there's a whole extra thing about home runs.
There's an extra thing?
There's a whole extra.
Over foul balls?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was the right call once I realized that Jerry West had called interference on the field. Like, to not overturn it, maybe, because they didn't have a good angle.
Yeah.
But I think Jerry West was an idiot for making the call.
Joe West, you mean?
Jerry West.
Jerry West, NBA logo star.
I don't know why he was out there.
I know, I was really confused. Now I'm driving the bus.
90 years old, switching careers.
Country Jerry West.
Talk about a racist logo. Am I right? I don't know if Jerry West is racist.
I hope not.
He's white and old. The odds are pretty good.
I mean, that tough call to make. Like, really one of those ones that very, like, I think either way people would have been mad because there was just no clear evidence, right? Like, I saw a Zapruder.
Interfering.
Like, yeah,
that's the thing
they
that's
hit
clear.
They did hit his glove. So that part is clear.
Do you
you're
think
right.
that there was like a bump from it being Mookie Betts? Like, do you think if it was Ian Happ out
right,
there, that
yeah,
they would have been
right.
like, well, Ian Happ would have made that catch.
Right.
Like,
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, probably.
Like, it's subconscious, obviously. I don't think
so. Of course, they were writing that down and going,
Mookie
would have caught that.
Here's another hypothetical. If Altuve's knee was healthy, do you think he would have hit it like 8 more feet and it would have just gone way over him. He had knee surgery
like
yesterday or something.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, things turned out as they did.
They did turn out the way that they did.
The Astros fans can't really complain because they like you know, it's not like it swung the series. Well, they won a World Series, and it's not like they lost in seven games or something. Like, right. I don't know that.
That wasn't
changes the tide of the...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think you could be mad, but I don't. I think because you won the World Series last year, you can't be that. And because you lost in five.
It's like you as a Cubs fan can't be that mad about losing the wild card because you won the World Series 2 years ago.
I'm not really that mad because it was the Rockies. If it was the Cardinals, I would have been furious.
Well, so let's...
Was it then difficult? I just want to ask this. Was it difficult to then watch the Rockies just get decimated by the Brewers?
Crushed.
Because I don't... I'm not saying the Cubs would have necessarily beaten the Brewers, but I do not think that they would have scored two runs the entire series and only in game one.
I mean, the Rockies just clearly ran out of gas.
Yeah.
Like, just clearly ran out of speed.
And the Cubs are very capable, as they proved throughout the whole season, of scoring two runs in a series.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah, for sure.
Like, maybe they would have, but I think that they would have shown up for at least one of those games.
Yeah, I do think you're right that they would have played better than the Rockies, but... Yeah, they had something like 40 games where they only scored like one to two runs.
Yeah.
That they won, but they only scored 2 to 1 runs.
It was so frustrating.
That's not a lot of offense.
I think overall offensively runs scored, they were in the upper half of the league because then they would go on weeks where they would win like 9 to 2.
Huge
for
blowouts.
Every day. Yeah. It was so frustrating.
Yeah.
It was very surprising to me how bad the Rockies lineup was, though. Like, once I was watching those games, I was like, the Rockies have two good hitters. This is fucking crazy. How are they in the playoffs?
Yeah.
But they made it.
They did make it.
Can't fault them for that, I guess.
That's true.
So let's make some predictions here.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we think is going to win the series, and how many games do we think it's going to go?
Okay, wait, I have a question before we do this. So I have to think about it. If you were a manager of a World Series team, all things equal, so you have the same line. Basically, if you're a manager of a team, would you rather have Kimbrel or Jansen going into the World Series as things stand right now?
I would rather have Jansen.
Yeah, me too.
I think so too. I think going into
because he's been there before.
Oh, okay,
that's why.
That's good.
Even though, you know, things got shaky and things have been shaky. He's been there before.
He's been a little more steady lately.
Yeah,
too, I feel
right.
Like.
Yes.
At least not as.
He looks more like himself.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's still inducing heart attacks.
Plus, I'll tell you this: every time they play California Love, and he comes out of the bullpen.
It's great.
I love it
it's
so much.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I mean, Kenley every day. I think.
Yeah.
Kimbrel's nasty, but. That pitch tipping thing is interesting, but like he was also wild. He didn't have command throughout any game I've seen him in. I think in this postseason, he hasn't had command of much. Like his slider when he can locate it is like nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he's missing low, if he's spiking it, like it's a useless pitch.
So dangerous with runners on base.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to the couple of games that I saw him come into, like he closed on defensive plays, like he never closed the game on strikeouts.
Yeah, they
like big strikeouts.
Yeah,
he was inducing, you know, and it was like
some of
those plays.
Yeah, like that Benintendi catch.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which was like if you didn't have that dude in left field, you would have lost that game.
Right.
For sure.
Like 100%.
The Astros could have, they were like three breaks away from
really were.
The series.
Yeah.
That throw that Betts had to second, that shit was.
Dang, that was a good
cause throw. Because I looked away for just a second and I caught the throw and that I was like, holy shit. And then they played it on replay and I was like, I did not realize that was on a spin.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me. Like he just like spun
it was a strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so crazy the like coordination that
it really is
any
crazy.
Major leaguer has, and then like a superstar like Mookie Betts is like you could have been like a ballet dancer or something like the body, the muscle control,
and also
that
like
that
the
takes,
spatial
and, like,
awareness
yeah,
of knowing
exactly
where you are and exactly where the ball needs to go. You know, is like just such a. It's so wild.
Yeah, it makes me feel like a real asshole when I boot a throw from shortstop to first or whatever in a league, but. What are you going to do? I'm not a major leaguer, I guess.
Yeah,
I never will be. Yeah. I never will be.
I don't know. That's don't give up on your dreams.
Okay. So I actually, one follow-up question before we pick our picks. Who do you guys start at DH for the Dodgers? I mean, probably different depending on the starter, but let's say just game one, who's your DH?
Against Sale?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, my DH, no matter who the starter is David Freese.
Really?
Yeah.
And Muncy's in the field.
At first?
I mean, that's a good question.
Because I was thinking Muncy.
Then
Muncy
and David Freese in the field, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it would be, more Muncy in the lineup's your best bet, right?
Yeah,
I think
for
so.
Sure.
Even though he hasn't been hitting well, but if he doesn't have to play in the field, that's probably better.
Yeah.
He's got like 3 hits in the playoffs and they're all home runs or something right, like that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. He is the worst at defense.
Yeah, for sure. I love that they put him at second base sometimes. They're just like
so
punting
ridiculous.
On defense. They're just like, just stand there. If the ball's hit to you, like
throw it,
glove it. You know, that's it. That's all we can expect. Okay. So let's make our picks then. Yeah. Who wins how many games? I'll start.
Go first.
I'll say I think Dodgers in seven.
Dodgers in seven.
I actually picked the Dodgers before the season to beat the Astros in a rematch. Mm. That was my World Series pick.
Yeah, I was saying that. I was like, it's 50-50, either going to be the same matchup or not at all. You know what I mean? It was but then I was half right.
Yeah. But I think I sort of wobbled on them during the season and before the playoffs.
Easy to do.
Yeah. I picked the Brewers to get to the World Series, but seeing the Dodgers beat the Brewers, I think they have it in them.
I think they have it. I honestly think they have it in them more than they do last year because they weren't as tested last year, except they had that huge slump for an entire month.
Yeah.
Which I guess was a test, but also just they were so far ahead that they just slid into the playoffs and mm-hmm. then didn't, they never fixed it.
Yeah.
You know,
it does
they
feel
didn't
like
really
they're
adjust it. And now they're like, how do we do it?
Yeah.
And they've been there before and they lost in like a really terrible way. So I feel like probably have a lot of passion to not have that happen again.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And it does feel like they're playing the best they have this season at this point. Right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. They're coming in strong for sure.
I mean, my only pick, I can't pick who wins, but I do think it is going to be seven games.
Yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
You can't pick because your team's involved?
I can't pick because I can't do it anymore.
Oh, okay.
I've predicted before and I'm like, I don't want to do it again.
It never matters.
That's fair.
It does never matter.
I can't pick when my team's involved.
Sure, yeah.
Which is very nice. I had to have a whole alternate timeline of if the Cubs won or lost because I couldn't predict their wins. I'm going to go Sox in six.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I've seen them, their weaknesses, and they've still only lost two games in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the Dodgers can exploit their weaknesses better, but it just seems like I haven't seen how are they going to lose? Is like where, I mean, I know how they could lose, but I'm saying it seems like their bullpen's shaky, Kimbrel's shaky, Price had bad starts, but it doesn't matter. They've steamrolled through these playoffs.
And it just feels like
they're so good and strong right now that it's hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers are playing very well, but they're not playing as well as the Red Sox.
Yeah, there is also the stat of the last 10 years, the team that going into the World Series with the most rest has lost.
Oh,
interesting.
Every year.
Whoa.
It's just a stat that I'm saying. Huh. It doesn't,
last 10 years?
Wow. 10 years, yeah.
That's
so that would be
fascinating.
The last time that
so
happen,
Dodgers
like
and Cleveland
Rays.
And...
2007 was the Red Sox beat the Rockies. Oh, because the Rockies swept that series. So that was the last time.
Oh, yeah.
So the last time it happened, though, was the
Red
Sox.
I mean, they were just showing the last 10 years. So
yeah.
It could have been even
that's
more
interesting.
Than that.
Oh,
it is interesting.
True. Could that.
Yeah.
I do think one thing in the Red Sox favor to your point is that the teams the Red Sox beat are much better than the teams the Dodgers beat overall.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Astros are and the Yankees were both stacked.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really, really good teams.
The Red Sox won 108 games, and then if they would have lost to the Yankees or Astros, it wouldn't have been that shocking.
Right.
Totally.
They'd be the Dodgers,
They
beat,
if the Dodgers
beat
lost to Atlanta,
teams.
That would have been insane.
Yeah,
we
would have been like,
that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they did get tested by the Brewers.
For sure.
So that is the only thing that I think, I mean, I totally agree with you, but I think them being as tested as they were against the Brewers helps them rather than hurts them.
I do think that also the Dodgers are one of those teams that seems to rise to the level of talent that they're playing.
Because
I honestly thought that they were going to, I didn't think that they were going to play as well against the Astros as they did last year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think the Dodgers are very good at, like, saying no one's better than us, and then somehow they have that mentality.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, saying it's one of those intangible things that's probably bullshit. But
oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It seems like
a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like one of those things. Where you say,
right,
yeah.
It seems real.
I think it's going to go at least six games. I have a hard time.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Fewer
I hope it
games.
Does. I hate, even if, like, I'm rooting for the Dodgers. Even if the Dodgers were to win in four, I would be disappointed.
Sweeps are not.
They're not
I don't
as
think
fun.
They're fun.
Yeah.
The only good thing about the Dodgers winning in four and five is I love seeing a team win on their home.
Yeah, yeah, that's
God,
true.
It has been brutal. Like, has a team in the playoffs clinched at home?
That's a great question.
I don't think anybody has.
Yankees in the wild card game. If that counts.
But that's a one game series, so I don't really count that.
Because the Sox celebrated in New York.
Yeah,
the
Cleveland
Astros
got
won.
Swept.
Nice. Yeah.
The Dodgers celebrated in Atlanta, right? Because that was four games. And then the Rockies
the
got
Brewers
swept.
Were in Colorado. See,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And I think last year was kind of the same. Just because of the way home field advantage is set up, it sets it up that you don't win at home.
Yeah.
Your advantage is that you end up winning on the road.
So in the NBA, they do 2-2-1-1-1 instead of 2-3-2 and the NHL. I do kind of think it's a better system, although I hate more games more days in between.
In the NBA, the team is smaller. So, you know, that you have five guys versus, and I know that teams are bigger than five people, but I just mean, you know, you're fielding five people as opposed to nine.
Yeah,
I think it's got to be 2-3-2. I like it.
Yeah, there's no way around it. It's just that it's unfortunate. Yeah. It's not fun. It's
It's
not as fun to watch a team celebrate someplace else with a bunch of fans slowly walking out of the. Mm-hmm.
That was like the slightest bummer about 2016. This is not
it was
a
huge bummer for me.
For you, but I'm saying like that needs to be a Wrigley. It happened to the Sox in 2004. Like they won in St. Louis.
Yeah,
I think
happened
that's
to
like,
the White Sox in 05 too.
No one even remembers that happening.
Yeah, well, some of us do. Some of us, it's
they
a treasured memory. they swept Houston. The one in Houston. That's kind of a bummer. But
do
you
hear
what are you going to do?
That was a great pitching performance by the Chicago White Sox 2005, right?
Yeah. Not to be replicated. Four straight complete games they had.
Did you know that the 19... 05 World Series featured all shutouts.
Well,
and the Giants gave up zero earned runs.
Wow. Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's pre-dead ball era.
They lost only one game and they lost on unearned runs.
Wow.
They had an ERA of zero.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Different game.
Yeah.
Very dirty ball.
Much different. Oh, very
you can't
like,
see that thing at all.
It was
like,
a dirty
ball. Yeah. Can't see it at
probably
all.
Probably soggy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, let's do real quick. We're almost to the end here, but I do want to talk about some favorites, least favorites, because we've been doing throughout this season, Waylon and I's favorite and least favorite players on every franchise in history. But I think as you're a Dodgers fan. And
should I just do the World Series maybe from each team?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Favorite and least favorite?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know? Why don't you start with the Dodgers then?
Great, I'll start with the Dodgers. I mean, I have many favorites. Do you want my personal favorite or favorite?
That's
a good
question.
I don't know the...
My personal favorite is Chris Taylor.
That's
I don't know why I like that guy. I just really like that guy.
Yeah.
Just like the way he plays.
Yeah.
Then my least favorite is Manny Machado. Because I just don't... I mean, there are other dudes that I'd Not really. I mean, there's not really anybody that I really dislike
I was
gonna
say,
on that team.
How would you have answered this
Madsen,
question?
Madsen, I guess. And that guy's a new pickup too. But like, I just don't like the bullshit that Manny Machado does.
Yeah,
like
it does suck.
It's bullshit.
It sucks because he's so good.
He's so good, but he also doesn't hustle and says, "I don't give a shit." Like, what? You're going to the World Series, dude.
The thing is apparently this has been always going on.
It's been always going on.
Really new because
it didn't matter because it was Baltimore. Yeah, exactly. But like that shit that he did to Jesus Aguilar is just like it's
like almost
unforgivable.
Yeah,
it really. I mean, I was thinking like if somebody did that in our league, like shit would go down. Like that's like not even acceptable. And like,
I mean, he could have broken his ankle.
Yeah, for sure.
And then if they would have won, he would have been out for the World Series
just because he was being like pissy. Like
literally just like pissy.
I think those are those are great picks. I like Taylor too. I would say for me. My favorite is Puig on the Dodgers right now.
Current squad.
Yeah, so current Dodgers, current Red Sox.
Out of the teams that are in the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, I have so many favorites.
There's so many great ones.
That's why I was saying like personal favorite versus.
Yeah. Puig's my dude,
though. Because like Kike, come on.
Kike's great.
Favorite?
I'll pitch a least favorite that's not Manny Machado just because I don't know who he is, and that's Dylan Floro.
He's
on the active roster right now, and I like literally
bullpen arm.
Wasn't he from the Nationals?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't even know that.
right.
Gotta watch
I did
Nationals
watch
games.
A ton of Nationals games this year, which is weird.
Did you?
Well, because they end up on MLB Network a lot.
I watched a ton of Nationals games. I watched so many Nationals games this year.
I watched almost none.
My favorite? This is so hard. Oh, I feel so weird about the Dodgers.
It's understandable.
It might be Kenley Jansen. Mm. Kenley Jansen.
Yeah.
He might be my favorite.
We saw him pitch in that World Baseball Classic game, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he pitch for the Netherlands when we saw him?
Yeah, they play California Logos.
Yeah, that was
great.
Dope.
That was so fun.
It's a bummer that he hasn't had a great year because he is like a great player and a player that's easy to like, I think.
Totally.
For sure.
100%. I also really love Rich Hill, like just a lot. He might be my favorite pitcher.
Yeah.
I also really love Kershaw, but I mean, I know that's that's an easy one, but I like him.
Yeah.
I like everything about him. I like the way
that weird-ass delivery.
Physical way he pitches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
That stutter leg kick is
and he like
so
leans
nuts.
Forward a little bit, like right before, like it's great.
It's cool so that it's unlike any other pitcher ever. Like for a guy who is like as singular as him in performance, it's fitting that his windup matches that kind
totally.
So
is Machado your least favorite then as well?
Yeah.
I mean he's actually mine, but I just was like looking at the Dodgers roster and I was like, who's still in Florida?
Before that. It's Machado. I don't need to think. Austin Barnes, maybe.
Just cause.
Yeah, there's no reason to just dislike Austin Barnes.
He's all hustle, man.
I actually like that Barnes plays catcher and second base. That's such a strange combination that I love.
It is a very strange combination.
Let's move to the Red Sox.
Great.
Who you got, Rhea?
I mean, for me, it's pretty easy. Favorite is Mookie Betts.
It's so hard for it not to be Mookie Betts.
I know,
Betts.
Right?
I
mean, Benintendi, I love Benintendi too. And Brock Holt, come on. There's some good people on that team.
Mookie Betts is just so
Jackie Bradley Jr. But Mookie Betts is just like, what's the not to like? There's nothing not to like. And
for
then my
sure.
least favorite is JD Martinez, actually.
Shots
fired.
Like
for sure. I'm going to say Chris Sale is my favorite. That's like some White Sox attachment, but also like another very singular guy. And like, I love watching him pitch. Like, he's crazy. He's like a crazy, just like limbs everywhere. Like, it looks like his arm should break every time he throws the ball.
Yeah.
And then it's like a 90 mile per hour slider. And you're just like, what the fuck came out of your hand?
He's like
dude?
A scarecrow.
Yeah. It doesn't make any
throwing
sense.
Fireballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
So he's really fun to watch. Although Betts is incredible for sure. And then least favorite is tough. I actually like JD.
I do too.
I dislike him for his like Instagram 2A bullshit. That's why I dislike
him. Oh, really?
I
didn't know that was
his off the field stuff. He posted some like he's just like a, you know, MAGA dude or whatever. Very don't tread on me 2A kind of a guy. Like lives by the 2A. It's like come on man, calm down.
I get
you. If that's your like biggest identity piece, like boy.
Yeah.
You need some more hobbies, I guess. But
yeah.
So it's more personal than anything.
I get that.
Oh, I get that for sure.
Because I don't really know. There's nobody on the Red Sox that I really...
I've always had like a weird
dislike.
Porcello has always given me like a weird taste in my mouth for some reason. And I like can't really place it.
He always reminds me of mushrooms.
Like porcini.
Portobello.
Or portobello. Yeah. Yes. So maybe Porcello, but that's not like an active dislike.
I don't have an active... I think Chris Sale might be my least favorite Red Sox
really?
Player. Yeah. And I think it's a lot
like
White Sox resident.
Yeah, for sure. That
Plus
makes sense.
You know... He's kind of a dick.
Yeah, he's definitely a dick. That whole like uniform shredding incident that he had a couple
insane.
Years ago. That definitely he was throwing around some homophobic slurs when that was going on. Because I saw it and I like and then what Frazier was saying about it, I was like, oh, I see what you were doing.
yeah.
Just like ridiculous. Yeah. But I mean I'm not an idiot. I know how much all these guys say this stuff and also how much they don't these days, you know.
Yeah,
it's like both things at the same time.
No,
so.
I mean there is some grossness there.
Yeah,
for
of course
sure.
It's both things at the same time.
Homophobic slurs aside, that is like a perfect baseball story.
Oh yeah,
like
for
a
sure
guy cut
shredding
up the
uniform because he doesn't want to wear it
play.
That
yeah.
was the craziest fucking day. Like
I mean,
as
at
a
the
White
same
Sox
time
fan,
I'm like that uniform is ridiculous to put in these days.
He
like,
looks
come
ugly
on,
as hell.
Man.
He looks particularly bad
yeah.
as a big
it's,
lanky dude.
It is
and
like,
he had complained about
do
it.
This to yeah. these guys. Come
he,
on. There's a reason
like,
we don't wear this anymore.
Yeah. He is the best player on the team. And for him, like, if his one request is like, hey, can we not play in these like goofy jerseys
yeah,
that make
right.
my arm feel weird?
Move
like,
my start.
Yeah. yeah. There is, but that was crazy because it was like, you know, the first thing was like Chris Sale has been scratched and it's like, fuck, his elbow just blew out. And then it's like Chris Sale's been scratched for a clubhouse incident. And you're like, what the fuck? Did he like punch Jose Abreu? Like what happened? And then it's like Chris Sale cut up his jersey. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's the reason?
Just
it was
ridiculous.
Nuts. Well, we're about out of time. Rhea, thank you so much for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for having
thank
me.
You. Everybody, definitely check out the Three Swings podcast.
Yeah.
It's excellent. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week with more World Series thoughts. Thanks to Boardwalk Audio and to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their support and distribution help. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe, leave a review, all that good stuff. And we will talk to you guys next week.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.